Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It is 8:04 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And Dylan just rattled off the top five fast food desserts. People have thoughts, so we're going to get to some calls on that. There are some tweets that are taking shots at Dylan
cooked.
This morning.
Getting absolutely cooked.
Yet Twitter. Again, Dylan has given us a very, very controversial Top 5 Tuesday list. But before we get into all of that, let's go ahead and knock out special teams players that you want to add to the top 20 most important Falcons players this season. Mike, Bo, you guys have already listed 15 players each. So you only have a few picks left.
I was going to say, and we have specialists. We do specialists here.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have linebackers and safeties.
Correct.
Remaining. So that'll be an interesting part of that. And I think you can start to do the math. Specialists for me, it's really simple. And I know that I'm assuming maybe this is the one that Bo had a split decision on, but Younghoe Koo is on my list. There's no two ways about it. Younghoe Koo is one of the 20 most important players on this roster. He's got to step up. He's got to be the older version of Younghoe Koo that we saw 4 and 5 years ago that was one of the greatest kickers in the NFL and NFL history. And if he's not, you're going to have another number of end-of-game situations where you're going to have to make decisions if you're Raheem Morris, and it's probably not going to end up very good.
Yeah, there's an open kicking competition, if you haven't heard, between Younghoe Koo and Lenny Krieg. I believe it's how you pronounce it. Maybe it's Craig, but he's German, so maybe it's Krieg. I don't know. You know, you tell me, Allie. You've got the translator.
But you're
not
the one going to Germany. You need to know.
Well, that's why I said you tell me with your little translator friend, the app or whatever. That's what was going back and forth. But then, because we had kind of discussed if I could have one or the other, it's the same. It's really just one player when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
I went with Koo. I just said, I'm just going to scratch out Krieg or Craig.
Yeah.
For one reason is because I know what good, healthy, confident Younghoe Koo is, and I'll take that any day of the week. So, most Falcons fans, so I put Koo. And I agree for everything you said. Look, you could sit here and say, could Daryl Hodge this and that because of what he was on special teams, and maybe you think that Liam McCullough, who is the long snapper, is an extremely important player for this team, which he is. But it really comes down to the guy that's trying to put the ball through the uprights.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The best version of Younghoe Koo is better than most kickers. Are we going to get the best version? I think that's something they have to kind of pan out here coming up in training camp, and there'll be that open competition. All right, let's go to the phone line, 404-726-0929. It is time for the wake-up call. We're also going to cut a couple of tweets in just a second from Allie, but let's go ahead and head out to the phone line. Let's talk to our buddy Tinker. Tinker, shed some light for Dylon on the dessert situation, man. He's way off.
For me, he's not that far off because my absolute favorite ice cream is the Chick-fil-A ice cream.
Okay.
That's my number one. It's the closest thing to homemade ice cream I've ever had.
The ice dream cone. Ice dream cone.
Yeah. So I like it. But I did come across something in the grocery store I was going to get y'all's opinion on.
Uh-oh.
And maybe y'all could take it to the camping trip for the race. Went down the tater chip aisle and saw three new flavors from Pringles.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
It was beer braised steak.
Okay.
Then they had beer brats.
Okay.
Then they had beer canned chicken. I've actually tried the beer canned chicken tater chips. It was interesting. I did like it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think I'm good on
I would try the beer brats.
I think I'm good.
You know what? I've tried? I don't know if you've tried these, but I think it might be Lay's. They have the Cuban sandwich chips.
Mm.
Oh, dude, I'm
interesting.
Cuban's the best sandwich.
And I've got some still from them. I guess they're not. I guess they're still able to use. I bought them in the fall. I haven't opened them yet. And the Cuban ones. And dude, I'm gonna tell you, you can taste the pickles in these.
Oh, dude,
I don't know how they do that with chips. Doritos came out with like the taco chips a few years ago, and you could taste like the lettuce, the tomato. You could taste the taco.
Man, I'm all about that.
Do they ground it up and then just like sprinkle it in there?
I don't know about the braised steak. That's a little too complicated for me. I don't know if my senses are good enough to just, you know, go that deep on a flavor for a potato chip.
You just want to go ham on potato chips.
Yeah, I'm like, dude. You know, Cool Ranch or whatever. Like, we're good. Allie, we got some tweets. I know he was getting cooked on my timeline a minute ago.
Yeah, he is. So Amir wrote, man is 0-2 on list, blandest man on the radio.
Yo!
And then Christopher Belcher said, anything you drink is not a dessert.
But that's kind of a hot take.
Yeah, that's a hot take. You don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that because I'm sorry, but a milkshake is absolutely a dessert.
100%.
It's absolutely a dessert. The thing for me is there is nothing controversial about Dylan except for the fact that he's very, like, he's so bland that it's become controversial.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not controversial in any way. You're one of the nicest human beings that I've probably ever worked with in this business as far as who you are, how uplifting, how positive. Yet you're so far that way that it upsets people.
And look,
like, bro, get a brownie in there. So.
Let me reiterate this again. I did almost put the brownie cookie, the marble brownie cookie from Domino's in there because that is phenomenal. I'll say this again, though. It was fast food desserts. We have to remember, there are some fast food desserts that are a little out there, but a lot of them are not out there. A lot of them are basic. So we have to remember that. Again, if I go to Jenny's ice cream, I'm going to get the gooey butter cake ice cream. Like, that's not basic. That's a special flavor. But again, we're talking about fast food. Because if I couldn't leave it open to, like, any dessert of all time. Like, that's just too broad. Yeah. So I had to niche it down. So that's why I went fast food.
Number one, obviously, on your list, vanilla frosty. I think that left a lot of people just kind of confused.
Yeah, because everyone goes for the chocolate frosty. Also, you didn't even mention the Taco Bell cinnamon twists.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Those are
for
dry.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not
the
a big
cinnamon
fan
twists
yet.
Are dry as but toast.
Dip them in some vanilla ice cream.
Yeah,
that's the only way to make it good. That's the only way to make it good.
Off the top rope. Off the top rope.
That's the only way to make it good.
I think that's the first time I've seen Allie really take a shot at you.
Yeah, she came for you right there.
I mean, me, take shots all the time, but you. You've angered another person.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 447-260-9929. Let's talk to Ben on 85 South, see if he's got any clarity for Dylan. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, Mike, I thought the list was good. I told Dylan it was good. I do think there was no risk in there, though. The sleeper for me is the salted caramel chocolate chunk cookie at Arby's, which if they will go warm it up for you. It's incredible.
Okay. All right, I appreciate that, man. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben.
That's a mouthful of a dessert, too. I don't think I could order it. Hey.
He's not the only person. I got a tweet, too, from KP on Twitter that said, can we get a shout-out for the Jamocha shake from Arby's?
Oh, yeah, Jamocha.
I don't want to go off base here, but it just when he said that about the mouthful, about ordering it, have you guys been to a drive-thru where they have, like, the AI?
Mm-mm.
No.
Where you talk, you're like, hey, I want a number one, and it shows you, like, basically it transcribes on the screen what you said. And then you see it pop up.
No kidding.
How accurate is
That's
it?
Terrifying.
You know me. Like, me and Siri don't get along because, or Alexa, because my accent sometimes throws things off, like the transcribed text, but it was spot on. No kidding, spot on. And it was like the first time.
So I haven't had a full AI one, but Bo, I have been to one where like it's like an AI recorded message at the beginning. And then when you say, hey, you know, I want so and so, then somebody, then like the real person,
you're
like, is that it? Exactly.
Dude, I have the diesel truck. I have to shut that thing off when I get to the drive-thru window. Like, they can't understand anything I'm talking about. It's like, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Yeah. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Cameron over in Kennesaw. Cameron, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. Good morning.
What's up?
I messed around and said I'm from Kennesaw because I am, but I'm normally at work when I call y'all.
Okay.
But this morning, I'm actually planting that Mike's Mafia flag at the Starbucks on Town Lake Parkway.
Don't be planting that flag in my area. And second off, that makes sense that Mike's Mafia is at a Starbucks instead of working.
Nah, man, get that caffeine loaded in there. Do what you
got
to do.
Nah, it's clear, baby. You got to cut me some slack. I'm on the extended injury list from work. A little situation, but okay. I'm all good.
Hey, I hope you get back up there soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But oh man, Dylan. Dylan's my dog. He's everybody's dog, I'm sure. But hey, that felt like when you watching Family Feud. You know the opening rounds of Family Feud where they got like 8 options. And you be guessing and guessing and guessing, and you still get the exit. That's what that was like, bro. That was something to watch, man. That was something to see.
Yo!
But maybe he'll make a better one next time. Y'all have a good one,
y'all. Hey, Cameron, hey, off the top rope, bro. He said you kept getting. Oh, my God, that's so good.
I mean, 2 out of 3 people like my list, so I call that a win. At least on the phone lines.
Man, he said, no, thank you, bro. He said, you just straight opening around Family Feuded that thing.
Man, are you just not a chocolate fan at all, Dylan? Because there is no chocolate on your list.
I don't like chocolate ice cream. I like chocolate chips, and I like a brownie, but I don't like chocolate and ice cream.
You like chocolate chips, yet there was no chocolate chips anywhere on your list. There was no brownie on your list.
Oreo has chocolate in it.
Not really. That's not a chocolate chip. That's Oreo might be the one of the blandest cookies you can eat.
M&M's are chocolate.
Well, I mean, Oreo is like a sugar. It's like one step above a sugar cookie.
I'll tell you what it is. I like my base dessert I like a vanilla base type of dessert, and it can have sprinkles of chocolate in there. Whether again, it's chocolate chip or something like that. I love a brownie cookie, a brookie, but that again, that's not ice cream form. It's more of a hard form, solid form.
It's called a brookie.
It is called a brookie, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Speaking of which, you guys arguing. Dylan, can you pull up the turmeric sound that you tried to call me out on a minute ago?
Yes.
You got the Google Translate?
Oh,
you
know, no.
Bo was saying that his AI, it doesn't, you know, might not pick him up in the drive-thru. Evidently, y'all aren't picking me up on the show when I said turmeric. Go ahead.
What? It's turmeric.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. Turmeric, it's very, very clearly has an R right there as the third letter.
I'll give it to you. And then when it puts it out like in the when it spells out like how it's supposed to be pronounced. Yeah. It's TUR-MR-UHK. So that's
I'm all over that.
Listen,
life.
Everyone's
you know
just wrong today.
I'm all over that.
Google,
life. Thank you very
Dylan.
Much. I'm taking a bow right
I'll
now.
I'll give you your you know respect. I'll give you your kudos where kudos to Mike
go.
B. You were right. I was wrong on that, there but my go. List was fire.
Well, we will continue the controversy that is Dylan's top 5 Tuesday list. He'll come up in the rotation again. But coming up next, we do have the final players that will make the top list. Mike and Bo's top list of the top 20 Falcons players this season, safety, linebacker, and we have a Life of Squid on the way.
I played Facebook Investigator yesterday. I don't know if I found anything out, but I did find that I have one less friend on there.
Oh.
Next morning is just Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You've got Mike, Bo, myself, Allie Mack, and Dylan behind the glass, who did rattle off a top 5 Tuesday that is once again upset Metro Atlanta.
Somebody once again fire.
Somebody just tweeted me and said, "Where's the Subway cookies at, man?"
I know. Where are the Subway cookies?
It's not actually a bad pull. I don't go to Subway a lot, cookies. So
I don't think they meant it as a compliment, though.
Maybe so not. I used to get the Hardee's cookies. That was like my dad and I's thing whenever we went through the drive-thru at Hardee's. Yeah. But I always thought like the shape of the Hardee's cookie was it had a bite out of it. I did not realize it was just my dad taking a bite out of my cookie every time he bought me one.
It's like a dad tax?
Yeah, it was the dad tax.
I've been known for a dad tax or two in my day. It's definitely to my detriment. No doubt about it.
We have a late edition of a wake-up call that didn't make it on the air, Mike.
Yeah, so Ben called just a minute ago and he's talking about Dylan's list, and I guess we let him go a little bit early. He was going to explain that he actually gave me an actual wake-up call one time. So I've mentioned this before. I used to live with Joe Holly, who was the center for the Falcons. We got drafted together. Joe, when he moved into his townhome, I lived with him, and he hired an interior decorator. And evidently Ben, who was just on the phone with us, was came over. His wife was Joe's interior decorator.
Okay.
And he came over one morning. I was actually, I remember this. I was post-op. I just had surgery on my ankle. I had broken my ankle in training camp. I was post-op, so I'm just like completely out of it. And there's just a dude standing in my room with the, you know, with the tape, the tape measure. And he's like, "Hey, sorry, I had to measure the room." And I'm like, "Yeah, just she can just put a dresser over there. I don't know what's going on." But that's so funny, man, because I remember that exact situation. Ben was gonna say that he actually gave me a wake up call at one point. Probably scared the tar out of me. But obviously, you guys have ever had surgery, you realize that just a few days afterwards, you probably pretty much out of it at that point. So yeah, shout out to Ben for, I don't know, the actual wake-up call that I got at some point, probably 12 years ago.
And he still remembers it.
I know. That's what's funny. That's what's funny, man. Yeah, Joe hired an interior decorator and, you know, got his whole townhome outfitted. We were over there off of Lennox Road over in Buckhead. And, yeah, so that's crazy, man. Crazy that he remembers that. And I barely remember it, too.
Well, thank you for calling in, Ben, and thank you for listening. Now, throughout the show today, Bo and Mike have been naming their top 20 Falcons that are most important for this season. We've been going by positions and getting back into it. You both have four picks left, if my math is correct on this. So let's move to safety. Who do you have there?
Well, I think it goes without saying that Jesse Bates was four on my list. I literally had him at number four.
Yeah, he's up there.
And I'm going to give a wild card that Mike's probably going to be like, and I might have everyone do a double take. Like, what the hell are you thinking? DeMarco Helms.
Wow.
Because I think DeMarco Helms to me is a guy that could have been starting at some point last season if he doesn't have the injury.
Yeah.
And I think Justin Simmons came in after DeMarco had gotten hurt, if I'm not mistaken. I'm very positive about that. To me, that's a guy that's been here. This is it for him. Year three is the biggest year of his career. Coming off injury, he had a year of kind of being on an NFL team. He came on late, I thought, the first season. So DeMarco Helms could be a huge player on this team. Now, should I have him on this list? I don't know. I thought long and hard about this, but I think that second safety position has to get figured out. It's a very important position, and to me, he's the front runner for that position.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you're saying. I actually put Xavier Watts on here just for that exact reason. Now, you could have put Jordan Fuller, could have put DeMarco Helms like you did. I think Xavier Watts is going to be given every opportunity. I think Raheem Morris has said we're going to be very – I don't remember what the word he used, like very calculated and making sure that our rookies get some playing time this year. I think he kind of fits into that with everything we've been talking about. I think there's a lot of upside there. I hope that DeMarco Helms is back to health soon and, obviously playing at a high level, which he is back to health, and hopefully he can, you know, take that job. But somebody of the three of them has to run away with it. I'm with you. One of those guys, whoever it is one of the 20 most important players for the Falcons this year to be able to make a run.
So just one there?
I've got Jesse Bates, too. I think that goes without saying. Jesse Bates and Xavier Watts. I've got both those guys back there on the back end.
All right, let's move on. You got two more. Linebacker.
Yeah, I'll go first here. Caden Ellis is one of the top few names I put on. You mentioned Jesse Bates. I think Caden Ellis is that guy as well. I just think that he does so many things that unlock the potential of so many players around him. And for the same reason, I actually put Divine Diablo on here. Divine Diablo is one of those guys that I think if the Falcons are going to be the best version of themselves, if Divine Diablo is not that guy, I think you're relying on Troy Anderson, which there's an argument to be had that he needs to be on this list because him getting up to his potential, alleviates a lot of things. But Divine Diablo is a guy for me that they signed for a reason. They believe in his athletic ability. They believe in him to fly around. You play a number of different dual threat quarterbacks this year, guys that can extend the play. He's got closing speed. I've got Caden Ellis and Divine Diablo to round out my top 20.
So Diablo was rumored to be wearing the green sticker. Which you know what that means, and if those of you don't, it means he has radio communication, which Caden Ellis, I believe, wears. Yeah, that's a big deal. Caden Ellis is always going to make the list.
Yeah.
But Divine Diablo was eliminated on this list by me for Troy Anderson.
Yeah.
Because the best version of the Falcons defense we saw last year was against New Orleans the first time they played them. They turned the ball over. They scored defensive points. They were flying around the football because Troy Anderson had his best game of his NFL career that game.
Yeah.
Healthy Troy Anderson, this defense is different. Therefore, that's why I have Troy Andersen as my my last player on my most 20 most important Falcons players.
Allie, how many?
As usual, Baron Burton's W Sauce. You can go to WSauce.com. Use promo code SQUID. That's SQUID for 15% off your order. And my friends at New Rome Brewing, the Owl and Lager. I got to get with Chaz. We need some beer for Echo Park Speedway.
Gotta happen, Chaz. So, you were the man last time. Gotta happen.
We need more Owl and Lager. All right. So, hanging out with a buddy, we're out in public, and you know, like somebody goes to the bathroom or whatever, and then comes back and is like, "Hey, I think I saw somebody."
Mm-hmm.
But I need you to check me on it.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, okay. And I said, why?
Well.
He's with somebody. And it ain't what. When we haven't talked to this guy in a while.
Oh, no.
We ain't talked to this guy in a while. So for all intents and purposes,
Person you expected to see him with.
Yeah, that person might not be in their life anymore.
Oh, no.
And I said, okay.
Oh, no.
So I walk to the bathroom and see what he saw and come back, and I'm like, yeah, man.
Oh,
definitely him.
Oh, no.
I can confirm.
And he's like, well, I felt they were very on top of each other. And so I saw a little bit. I said, well, I see some stuff. I go, I don't know, though. Like, you know, I never know. So I get on Facebook and start investigating. And again, I haven't talked to this person in a couple years. What I did was I checked both people
because
it was a couple.
Of course.
And so everything, he is now not friend, no longer on the Facebook.
Oh, he unfriended you.
Yeah.
He unfriended you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I don't even mess with it. I told you, I only go there for a few things.
What did you do?
Nothing. I didn't do anything. And so no status as far as relationship that I could tell. Maybe
okay.
It's... Some images of that person has been posted recently, but without a significant other, but with Kit. So just those two.
Oh, man.
So I go to the other person's page, and still my friend.
Mm-hmm.
It still says they are in a relationship, but the date is odd. But no pictures of the other one, just Kit.
Oh, man.
And so we kind of went through some of the things, and I was like, man, I don't know what to think, but... it was just like, Facebook detective can work, but I was like, but why are you going to unfriend somebody?
That's the part that bothered
you? Yeah, that's the one that stuck with you?
Potential cheating.
You're like, what did I do?
Well, I think it bothers me because I can't, well, I don't, I tend to think it's not, I think that something has happened.
Yeah, they're separated.
That's why I think that is there, but.
Did you cause them to separate? Is that what you're saying?
No, why the hell would I be the reason?
I don't know. Why did he unfriend you?
No, were you more so friends with, like, was the female?
Well, I checked. I asked Amy, and you unfriended Amy, too, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, and okay, so
that
maybe
makes me feel better.
He
I'm
got,
like, dude, you did something.
Yeah, maybe he decided he was going to part ways through the divorce or whatever is happening.
Had
the
to
separation.
Cut ties.
Yeah.
You need a clean start.
Well, I mean, I ain't been around. I mean, I don't, what I got to do with any of that?
I just wonder how long y'all haven't been friends. You said you haven't talked to him in a couple of years. That could have been at any point in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's about
wow.
right.
Wow.
Don't you unfriend your ex's friends, though, on Facebook? Like, so you just don't...
But I'm not... But
I
we,
don't think...
But
that, yeah.
Hold on a second. We didn't... We weren't friends with one or the other. We were friends with both of them for the same amount of time.
Have you been in a picture in the last 2 years with one of them? Because was it one of the things where you got tagged and he was like, just done. I'm done with everybody.
Yeah, I would say
there you go.
Okay, there it is.
There you go.
There it is. You did nothing wrong. It's just him... trying to move on.
I have no problem with that.
But I mean, move on where I can still figure out what's going on. Like, if I need to spy. That's the thing for me is where it makes my investigative work
harder.
I
can't creep if you unfriended me. Don't make yourself private.
That's it. Like, hey, man, when I need to know something about you, I need to be able to get to your Facebook page and figure it out. I don't need to now have to go to another page and then, like, go through pictures and try to piece things together. That just makes life ridiculously hard.
I feel you on that. Privacy, it's overrated. Well, coming up, we are going to talk to Brandon Godden, play-by-play announcer for the Atlanta Braves. He's going to join us to talk about the Braves and this entire season. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
The Odyssey app.
That's fun.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift at 8:42 with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack. We've got Dylan behind the glass. Make sure to take us to work with you. When you get out of the car, just fire up the Odyssey app.
Yeah, you can also, guys, listen to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on your smart device. Just ask your smart device to play 92.9 The Game. Listening to The Game just got a lot easier. Powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL.
Well, we are welcoming in Brandon Godden, play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Braves. And Brandon, first, welcome to the show. But we have to talk about something that has gone a little controversial on our show this morning. Our producer, Dylan, listed off his top five fast food desserts, and people have a big issue with it. But you're always on the go. Do you stop for a fast food dessert anywhere?
Boy, we're starting with controversy. I haven't even had breakfast yet, guys. Here's what I'll tell you. Fast food dessert, I don't know if this counts, but for me, it was always a Snickers Blizzard from Dairy Queen. Does that even count, or is that just an ice cream place?
I think that definitely counts.
It
no,
counts.
That counts. Yeah. It's got a fast food window, and they serve burgers.
Yeah, that's solid. Very, very
okay,
solid.
Now, I'm curious, did anybody throw the McDonald's apple pie in there?
See, that's where the controversy comes in because all of Dylan's desserts were vanilla ice cream based.
Every
single
one of them.
No bakery goods in there.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Okay. I, as an ice cream lover myself, and I'd even go as far as maybe saying an aficionado, I'm okay with that. but I would like to see this list and consult it further. Maybe we can do that offline.
Yeah. We're going to have to, man. Appreciate you hanging out with us, talking a little bit Atlanta Braves. And obviously, a big series coming up, but I want to talk more about the broad picture before we get into it. Is there anything – I guess the way to ask this question, Brandon, is what's the most shocking thing or what's the most surprising thing about the Atlanta Braves so far this year? I think, obviously, you look offensively at the ups and downs, but on an individual level, all the guys on this team, they've had ups, they've had downs. What's been the most surprising part of the season for the Braves so far for you?
I think the inability to be consistently offensively across the board and the head-scratching part of looking back to 2023 and thinking how good that team was offensively, and that this, for the most part, with a couple exceptions, is pretty much the same roster, and seeing a lot of guys have trouble staying consistent. And that I think even last year was also hard to put your finger on. You know, you could point to the pitching and some injuries there for some inconsistencies, but by and large, especially the starting pitching has been solid. Now, the bullpen has a couple holes, and that's been well documented. But I point first to the lineup and just the lack of – you're never going to get – I shouldn't say never, but it's rare that you're going to get your nine guys in the lineup going hot at the same time. But typically what happens is you get five, six guys going solid, a couple that are just doing okay, and a couple that are struggling. And that recipe is typically good enough to be above average, especially with the lineup that the Braves have. But it seems like they'll get a couple guys going good, a couple that are just doing okay, and then quite a few that are struggling. And then that group that is struggling, they'll rise, and then the guys that were doing well will fall. And I think it's the inability to get enough guys going at the same time. And to put your finger on it, it's kind of difficult to do that because, you know, we say this all the time. You look at the back of their baseball cards, and there's some pretty good numbers on there. These are guys that have performed at a high level before. So I try to remain optimistic, and I still think that this team definitely has the capability to turn it around. We still have almost 100 games to go, but certainly go time is right now. It's kind of put up or shut up time if you want to make a run this season.
Brandon, originally when they say that they're moving Sell back, they're like, oh, we're just going to move him back to Tuesday. Then he ended up moving him to Wednesday. And then Elder was supposed to go Thursday. Now they've moved Strider up to Thursday and Elder back to Friday. Is this just trying to resetting your rotation where you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and some – I know that Sell technically would be 1, I think, and Schwellenbach 2. Or is this really just to get certain – pitchers going against certain matchups with the Phillies and the Mets?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's right now realizing that the Mets are at the top of the NL East. And I don't think the Braves' focus right now is trying to catch the Mets, right? I mean, the way that the playoffs are structured these days, you just need to get in. And so would winning the NL East be nice? Sure, but the Braves are really far back right now. I think the focus right now is just beating who is on your schedule and realizing, okay, the Mets are at the top of the NL East. They have the best record in the National League. Let's line up our best pitchers to go against the New York Mets. And then in between the two Mets series, you've got the Marlins. And not that the Braves can't be beat by the Marlins. Obviously, they can. But I think it makes some sense. So you're going to get Sale going in Game 2. You can get Sale then going to start the series in New York, a four-game series up in Queens to try to set the tone. So that's what they're trying to do, and I don't disagree with that. I certainly understand people who would say, now, wait a minute, guys. You're seven games under 500. You just need to win the next game in front of you. And certainly, I understand that sentiment. But the Braves are just trying. Their thought process is, yeah, we hear that, but we think this gives us a better chance to win. And beating the Mets right now in this three-game series at home and starting this tough stretch out on the right foot where you have seven against the Mets, three against the Phillies, and three against the Marlins, I think that was the focus, and that's why they're doing this.
Let's dive into that Braves-Mets matchup for the week, the series, and obviously it's a big one. And I think that you kind of hit on it earlier. I think we're all kind of to the point, Brandon, where you look at it and say, look, you just got to take two or three. Like this whole thing where, you know, you take two and then lose one of the Rockies on Sunday, you got to win series. You got to match them together. We talked about earlier and kicked around, maybe a 10-3 stretch kind of gets you back to where you want to be, specifically if you can do that before the All-Star game. But this is about winning series at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, you look at it. I think to get into the playoffs, you're probably going to need to get to 90 wins. So you look at the Braves' record right now, they're 31-39. If I'm doing my math, they would need to go basically 59-33 the rest of the way. And that equates to pretty much what you're talking about, winning two out of every three. Now, of course, that's not going to happen every series, right? You might sweep one. You might lose two out of 3-1. But the bottom line is you need to win two out of every three games, winning percentage-wise, if you want to hit 90 wins and get into the postseason. Now, look, the Mets did it last year. They were in a very similar spot. They were 29-37 in the middle of June, and they went on a run, and they got into the playoffs and made some noise and went all the way to the NLCS. So it happened just last year. We saw the Braves do it in a similar fashion in 21-22. So you know that it can be done. And that's why I remain optimistic, even though the frustration of last year offensively and so far this year offensively still really exists. And I get that. But I still think that there's enough in the tank here for the Braves team to make a run. Now, if you go through this 13-game stretch and you go 6-7 or maybe even 7-6, I would come back on and say it's not looking as good, because these are the teams that you need to beat to make a statement and to show the rest of Major League Baseball that you're for real. Like the time is now. Middle of June is when teams who are struggling tend to start to make a run leading into the All-Star break. Because if you go into the All-Star break too far under 500, you're probably going to be looking, especially with how deep the National League is, that a road that is too tough to navigate. So we'll see what these next 2 weeks have in store.
It's the Morning Shift talking with Atlanta Braves play-by-play voice Brandon Gaudin. And we've all kind of been watching Spencer Strider get back to doing Strider things. We were giving him till June to really feel like himself. He had a great performance the other day, Brandon. Do you feel like he's fully back now?
So we always said, and I was going based off the pitchers that I work with, and CJ Nikowski and Tom Glavine, who have done it at the big league level, they were kind of saying, give him a handful of starts. Because when you come back from the procedure that he came back from, velocity takes a while to develop. It also takes a while to get the feel back, is what they were saying, which is, you know, you may be able to get the velocity, or you may be able to throw the slider at the location that you want, but the feel of your pitches sometimes takes a little while to get that back. And I think we saw that. Now, I understand why some people might say, now, wait a minute, he was facing the Rockies. That's probably the worst lineup in baseball. Yeah, sure, take it with a grain of salt. But they're still major league hitters, and he was incredibly dominant in that game. And that was the first time that his velocity was back to pre-injury levels. So now can he build on that? Can he do it against the Mets, a much tougher lineup, one of the best lineups in baseball? That'll be interesting to tell. So he's done it once. can he now stack 2, 3, 4 performances together and keep that velocity up around 97? That's what we'll be looking for this time. But for me, again, I go back to the feel. The location of Strider's pitches before this last game against the Rockies, it wasn't Spencer Strider. It was okay. It was certainly good enough to be a big league starter, but Spencer Strider's elite. And this is the first time he looked elite. So can he keep the velocity and still locate the pitches, especially when he gets ahead of the count? Can he bury the slider where he wants? That'll be something to watch against the Mets and a lineup that is, as I said, one of the best in baseball.
Brandon, there's been a lot of talk about leadership in the clubhouse, and recently Austin Riley just basically said, look, what's need to be said has been said. Is he the leader of this team? Is it maybe, I know, you know, sometimes it's hard for pitchers to be, starting pitchers to be leaders, but I know that John Smoltz was a leader. So who do you think, you're around this team as much as anyone, I mean, who do you think is the leader of the Braves clubhouse?
I would say a combination of probably Riley, Sale. You could certainly throw Ozzie Albies in that mix. I think that those guys are good vocal leaders who know when and how to rally the team. And, you know, we get privy to information traveling with a team and being with them. And sometimes you see and hear things, obviously, that you can report. And sometimes you see and hear things that should be kept private because, look, that is a private space for those guys. And during the media session, when all media are in there, okay, that's open to the public, and that's when they talk, et cetera. But everybody in their personal life and their professional life, you're going to have moments that stay private, right? I think those guys have had conversations internally that just haven't been made public, that are good, healthy conversations, that are leadership type of conversations. And I think those guys are at the top of the list, Riley Albies and Chris Sale. Now, Chris Sale, it took a little while, right, because he's only in his second season with the Braves. So he's a guy that's been around a long time. But I think Chris Sale did an incredible job of coming in, reading the room, and then slowly letting that voice of leadership take over as he gained attention and credibility in the clubhouse, right? He had the credibility when he was in Boston, but he waited to earn that in Atlanta, and he quickly did earn that respect, not only with his performance on the field, but the type of guy he is. He is a leader by example. He's a tremendous teammate. I have never heard a bad word about Chris Sale since he came over from Boston at the start of last year. So between those three, and there are others, and I'm not just saying that to kind of equivocate, there are other leaders in the group, but I think those three guys are really vocal leaders, leaders by example, that have a tremendous amount of respect in that clubhouse.
Brandon, before we let you go, we only got about 20 seconds left, but I wanted to ask you about Wiley Ballard making his play-by-play debut on FanDuel last week. I thought he did a pretty good job. Do you have any feedback for him, or what'd you think?
He's tremendous, yeah, and he's only, 31 years old. He's going to get better. He was a student at Georgia Tech when I called games there, so for me it was like a proud father moment. So I was thrilled for him and certainly hope he gets more opportunities.
Hey, well, we appreciate you hanging out with us today, answering all our questions, man. Good luck on the call this week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
That's Brandon Gauden, play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Braves. Always bringing the good stuff. I love the question about the leadership, man. I think that's something that we kick around all the time. And he answered it about as openly as you possibly can, well, given his situation, man. It's just, he's dead on about everything he just said.
Yeah, that stuff about knowing what, you know, there's things you can talk about and there's things you can't when you're on the road. It rings so true to me because there are literally things I see that I wish I could talk about, but you can't because you could quell some of the ridiculous things that are said about teams and players.
Yeah. Love to hear it. Love Brandon Gauden for joining us, and hopefully we will have a lot more fun talking about a Braves win tomorrow. We'll do it same time, same place, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sandy's out in the bullpen. Steaky awaits. Steakhouse is up next. Until then, make sure you
don't be vanilla like Dylan Atlanta.
Whoa!
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.